to Jesus, my Lord. I yield to his will. I lay down my sword to pick up his banner and march bold and strong. There is no doubt whose side I am on.
I am firmly committed to the cause of Christ, determined to serve him for the rest of my life, resolved to give all, no matter the price. I am firmly committed to the cause of Christ.
I've come through the valley, there's no turning round. I will press toward the Lord's higher ground. The way set before me, my only concern. For I have passed the point of return.
This new year, I trust that you are firmly committed to the cause of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. If you'll turn with me over to page number 120. Page 120, let's all stand and all sing together tonight, Victory in Jesus. Page number 120. Sing together now.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary and saved a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious words atoned me. Then I my Savior, for
choir. You can be seated. Again, it's so good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. What a great message and a great moving of the Spirit this morning. Amen. It is great to see you back here tonight. And I just pray that the Lord would move in a very powerful way again this evening. And please remember all those that are going through a tough time physically. We have a lot of folks sick. Please remember Miss Lynn. She's sick, unable to be here with us tonight in the choir. And so please remember her and again, many others going through some difficult times. Let's remember each one of those. But please don't forget about Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Bible study and prayer meeting. We mentioned this morning that Jubilee's right around the corner. That'll be March the 3rd through the 7th. And Brother Justin will have us lined up here very soon. But go ahead and make Jubilee a matter of prayer. That'll be it'll be on us before we know it. And that's very, very soon around the corner here. So go ahead and make that a matter of prayer. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer tonight and ask Him to be in our service. Ask the Lord's blessing upon the offering. Brother Charlie Wilson, would you lead us tonight as we pray?
Thank you.
steps left to take, no moves left to make. Oppressing fears, tormenting doubts, prayer after prayer, still there's no way out, and it seems like pain is all you gain.
Hold on, hold on, through every storm. Hold on, even in the darkest night, walk thy faith on sight. Hold on, hold on.
There's a Father of love holding peace like a dove in the midst of all your dark despair. With open arms, He's waiting there to hold you till the hurt is gone. The hurt is gone.
What you gonna do? You gonna let me sit down or not? Oh me. Well, if you're glad you're here tonight, say amen. Amen. It's been a good day. And the Lord today, as always. And like the song says, hold on and Lord will come through. Let's continue to remember Miss Taylor, Miss Darlene. She coming along pretty good. I remember her and her recovery. And there's many other requests we need to remember. Grab a bulletin if you'd like and catch up on those things. Again, it's the new year, and we got a lot of things getting ready to transpire, and baptism service next Sunday night, and of course, as it was mentioned already, we've got Jubilee right around the corner, and that's very, very exciting. Brother Don and Sister Carla coming in, have an active shooter class coming up next month. That's church safety related, and so remember that. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn back to the Old Testament. Book of Jeremiah, chapter number 33. Jeremiah 33. Book of Jeremiah, chapter number 33. It's amazing how God works and how He works through His Word and how He places people around who are going through certain things that need to hear what's coming from the Word. And there was a gentleman here this morning that I won't get any great details, but he really needed to hear what the Lord said this morning through the message. And he said he was helped. And that's encouraging to me. And so we appreciate that feedback. Jeremiah chapter number 33, let's bow for prayer, and I want to read from verse number 1. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're thankful for the service this morning. Lord, we're thankful for our time together tonight, choir practice. Lord, we do pray for Brother Allen, his appointment tomorrow. We're thankful for him and how he faithfully instructs us, teaches us music. I pray that You be with us tonight, be with each and every person, every life. You know, you can see the hearts of your people tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd give us what we need, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 1, Jeremiah 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We started this morning talking about the topic of God's reminders. And we mentioned how that the children of Israel were in captivity during this course of Scripture, this particular time. It was a time where the morale was in a swoon. It was in a decline. They were in captivity. And the prophet was in chains as well. He was in this dark prison. And he had been that way for some time. We said that this prison wasn't like prisons of today. Prisons of today let you watch the 5 o'clock news and any other thing. But this was a cold, dark prison that Jeremiah was in. And you can imagine the mockery and the ridicule that here this man of God was, and he was locked up for preaching. And, Jeremiah, you said this. You said that God's people was going to experience this. You know, you said that we're going to be destroyed, and all the rest of it. Great ridicule and mockery. Even before prison, Jeremiah was mocked and ridiculed, and he forbeared that for a while. Then he had too much of it, and the Bible says that God's word was like a fire shut up in his bones, and he could not stay. He said, I'm just going to tell these people like it is. Because that's what God has called me to do. And so the children of Israel and Jeremiah, everybody's on lockdown. Everybody is in a dark place. But yet at the same time, there's this ringing in the ears of the message that he brought out to them. And the message was that you're in captivity now, but there's going to be a time of blessing later. And so I believe that possibly there was this time, this difficult time of trying to put on level grounds both truths. We're in a bad time now, but a good time's coming later. It was a difficult contrast. Sometimes in life, you know, we go through things. It feels like we say it every service, but we are to exhort one another as we see the day approaching. We're up, we're down, things happen, life is tough, we know that. We have the Lord within us, those that are saved. And sometimes we may think Not that we do think, but we may think, well, Lord, is this all true? Are you really going to bring everlasting peace? Lord, are you really going to come back for us? Or are we going to be left in this situation we're in? Of course, we know that it is true. The Bible says it's true. He's coming back for His church. It doesn't matter how things may appear. It doesn't matter how things may seem. I believe tonight, whatever God says is true. And I don't believe that, and this isn't just play on words, but I don't believe that the Bible contains the Word of God. I believe it is the Word of God. And I didn't say that because other people said it. I said that because some like to add to and take away from God's Word. God's Word is true tonight. He's coming back. And so here they are. They're in captivity, and Jeremiah's in prison. This morning, we spoke about that God reminded Jeremiah that he wasn't abandoned. Look in verse number 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. And so he visited Jeremiah twice, at least twice. The first time could have been sufficient enough, but he visited him a second time. That's familiar language in the Old Testament. I think about Jonah and how that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. And, you know, that's the kind of God we serve. We may make good decisions, and there's times where we fumble and we drop our obedience and we miss the target. But yet God's so loving, God's so caring, He has a plan and purpose for us, and He'll speak to us a second time and a third time and a fourth time, times 100. God will do that. But I believe that on this fashion, how the Lord visited Jeremiah, it had to do with God many things, but it had to do with reminding him that he wasn't abandoned in this situation. Now, we're not going to belabor this first point. We mentioned it this morning. But I do want to say that Jeremiah was in prison, yet the Lord spoke to him. You see, Jeremiah couldn't get out of prison and hasten his escape, go to a place of safety where he can meet with the Lord, but yet God's word came to Jeremiah in prison. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:9, Paul speaking, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. And Paul was simply saying there that I am in shackles and I'm in chains. He said, but yet the word of God is getting brought out of here. In fact, it was from that prison cell and many times in prison that Paul penned down the New Testament, much of the New Testament. Paul was chained up, but the word of God wasn't chained up. In fact, it was through that prison experience that the word of God was maximized and it was spread out more than like none other because of this imprisonment and the solidness of mind and the dedication to just write and send it. He had a guard that was over him. Paul did. And so he preached to him. The word of God was getting out. Wasn't hindered. I want to say that even in Jeremiah's day, when he was in prison, Jeremiah was in prison and he was in chains, yet God spoke to him. The same way that the Word of God gets out is the same way the Word of God can get in. There's no boundaries. God's Word is not bound. And that's why at times in life when things are dark and things are gloomy, it's God's Word that can get us out and change us every time. Sometimes He does get us out of the situation. But other times He changes us in the situation. I want to say this evening that Jeremiah was in prison, and the Lord spoke to him. Jeremiah couldn't get out, yet the Lord got in to him. Turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew 11. I feel like I need to slow down a little bit and continue on this first point. Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 1. John the Baptist is in prison. John the Baptist, as you know, was the forerunner. We mentioned him Wednesday night. He's in prison. Notice what the Bible says in verse 1, Matthew 11. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, notice this, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. What are you saying? I'm simply saying that John, the forerunner of Jesus, he was out there and he was preaching, and he believed at the drop of a hat, and he dropped the hat to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But now he's in shackles, and now he's in chains, and now doubt is coming into his mind. Is this really the Messiah, or should we look for another? Dark times and dark places in life can have that effect on our lives. But you see, this was God's way of showing John he wasn't abandoned. He told those disciples, he said in verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. He said, Tell John this, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now John was in prison, and the message was, you tell John, although he's in a dark place, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking. And listen, I want to say that tonight, if you're in a dark place, if you are bound by fetters and chains, it may not seem like God is anywhere within reach. But I want to say that he's still creating miracles tonight. He's healing, he's touching, and he's saving. And sometimes God has his own special way of letting us know that we're not abandoned. We know we're not abandoned. The scripture says we're not. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But sometimes we need that special encounter with Christ, don't we? John was the preacher. He was John the Baptist. He preached and he laid the foundation for Jesus to come. Now he's in prison and he's doubting and wondering. Oh, he's bewildered in his mind. Is this really the Messiah? And so Jesus could have released him. He could have left and been on his way. But what he needed was a reminder. He needed a reminder that, John, I have not abandoned you. I have not forgot about you. Right now, you're in prison, but I want you to know that I'm still the Christ. I'm still the Messiah. I'm still healing, and I'm still touching lives. So tonight, we see that John the Baptist was in a dark place. He needed to be reminded of God and his power and what he can do. God has not abandoned us. God has not abandoned you. You may be in a prison where you may need to hear a word from God. God has a special way of giving that to you. John, whether it was Paul, whether it was Jeremiah, they were all in dark places, but still God communicated his word to them. Back in our verses tonight in Jeremiah chapter 33, God reminded Jeremiah that he wasn't abandoned. He came to him the second time in prison. Look in verse number two, the Bible says, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. I want you to notice that number two, not only God reminded Jeremiah he wasn't abandoned, but God reminded Jeremiah of his ability. Notice again, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. I believe verse number two is actually giving reference to a prayer that Jeremiah prayed. Look back in chapter number 32 in verse number 17. Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretch out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." And then we get to verse number 32 in chapter 33, or verse number 2 in chapter 33. If you read all of those verses, it's in alignment with Jeremiah's prayer. He said, "Oh Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Chapter 33, verse number 2. "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof." The maker of what? The prison? Well, it could be. "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, and the Lord that formed it." Formed what? The prison? Could be. To establish it. What? The prison? The Lord is his name. What is he referring to? It could refer to his prison experience, but I believe ultimately he's referring to the prayer that Jeremiah prayed, talking about heaven and earth and how the Lord had made it. God is reminding Jeremiah of his own ability. Notice he says, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof." God is telling Jeremiah, "I'm the maker. I'm the maker of heaven. I'm the maker of earth. I'm the maker of the Jewish people. And ultimately, I'm the maker of the church." We could say he was reminding Jeremiah that he was the originator while he was in prison. "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof." But then, notice this. "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it." And so now the Lord is going a step further. He says to Jeremiah, "I want you to know that I'm the maker of heaven, earth, the Jewish people, the church, and everything that's going on right now. I'm the maker thereof. But then I'm the former. I'm the one that formed it. I formed heaven. I formed earth. I formed the Jewish people and the church." You say, what's the difference between making something and forming something? Well, while he was making, he made heaven, he made earth, the Jewish people and the church, and everything else. But when it came to forming, it had a lot to do with cultivating. It's a deeper look inside what the Lord has done and is going to do. He said that the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, the Lord that cultivated it, the Lord that fashioned it. The Lord fashioned heaven. He cultivated earth, the Jewish people, and the church. He was the originator, he created it in thought, but now he is forming it and cultivating it. Turn back to Jeremiah chapter number 18 for a moment. Jeremiah to the left, chapter number 18. Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house, the potter's vessel of clay. Verse number 1, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then when I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." What is he talking about? I believe he's talking about not only God told Jeremiah there in 33 verse 2 that I'm the maker of heaven and earth and everything else, the Jewish people. But also I'm the one that formed it, cultivated it, fashioned it. Look in verse number 4, same chapter 18. "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." It was marred. It was ruined. It was out of shape. So what is the Bible telling us? That this clay that was in the potter's hands that was marred, it was out of shape, it was ruined. God calls in Jeremiah to see this picture in Israel. He said, "Are ye not as this clay? I am molding you and I made you in thought and intent and now I'm forming you. I'm fashioning you." And he fashioned heaven. He fashioned earth. He fashioned the Jewish people. And the reason why the Jewish people were in captivity at this time is because their disobedience, and God was molding them and shaping them and stabilizing them. Not only did he do that to the Jewish people through their disobedience, he was, during that time, he was chastening them. They were marred. God, to this very hour, is creating his church. And he is molding his church and he is shaping his church. But I go a step further, right down to the individual tonight. We are creations of God. When we get saved, we are children of God. And as a child of God, we are clay in his hands. And he, as I said this morning, will not allow us to get that far from him. He will allow us to see how life is apart from abiding in him. Oh, man, I dropped the ball on that one. Oh, that's what it's like not abiding in Jesus. Oh, I shouldn't have said those words in that conversation with that person. I spoke out of the flesh. That's what it's like not abiding in Jesus. And so through those experiences, God is, he's molding us and he's fashioning us. And sometimes we're just marred. I'll tell you what, there's a difference between being marred in the hands of the devil and then being marred in the hands of Jesus. If we are marred and we're broke in the hands of the devil, there is no telling where we might end up. We might end up in the gutter somewhere, strung out on drugs, in alcohol, in divorce, with nothing, not even two pennies to rub together. But if we're marred in the hands of Jesus, and we decide that we're going to get up and place our broken life in his hands, he will fashion us and he will mold us once again. I like what the song says. He talks about the potter and the clay. And I'm so glad that he didn't throw the clay away. If it had to do with our ability, let me say this, I know me best. If it had to do with my ability, in my obedience and moving forward with God, I wouldn't have got first day past salvation without messing up. But you see, because we're the children of a living God, a gracious God, a loving God, he doesn't see things like we see things. When we drop the ball, we fumble, we make a mess out of things. Or maybe we just make a mistake. All we see is here and now. Man, I'm a failure. I'm a failure. I'm a failure. You know, I'm a failure. I can't do anything right. I remember even one time over living in the parsonage at Floyd Road. I don't know what it was. I didn't rob a bank or anything. But I came home on my lunch break and I got on my knees in front of the couch. And I said, with all brokenness, I said, "God, if I was you, I'd kill me." I said, "Lord, why in the world did I do that? If I were you, I'd kill me. If he would have killed me, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. If he would have killed you at your first stumble, you wouldn't be where you're at today." You see, there's a process of sanctification, and there's a process in serving God. Our dark times, our failures, our stumbles, our slips does not catch God by surprise. But what he does is when we crawl back to the throne room of grace and we place our broken life, our blown situation in his hands, we are marred, yes, but in his hands. Wouldn't you rather be marred in the hands of Jesus than marred in the hands of the world? I'm telling you tonight, the world is not going to fix us. And anybody that's gotten out of church, I pray for them. I pray for them, and I beg God to intervene on their behalf, because somewhere along the line they were marred. Sometimes we get marred in church. And it's so sad, because time and time again you hear about it, how people have, somebody said this, somebody said that, whatever the case may be, they're marred, they're broken. And they don't give Jesus another chance. Well, I'm not going back to church with those hypocrites. I'm not doing it. They hurt my feelings. Let me ask you a question. Do you fight and argue with your own family? Who doesn't? When I say fight, I'm not talking about knockout. I'm talking about stretching out. Is this conversation over yet? You know? Listen, there's going to be things. We're the family of God. Nobody's perfect here tonight. And if anybody's listening by internet, or anybody here tonight, when possibly there's a decision you have to make, you've been hurt, you've been broken, and you're marred, and you're deciding, should you loosen up on your steadfastness going after God, or should you just come down tonight and lay your life in His hands? Either way, you're marred. But the best part of being marred is being in the Master's hands. We see that tonight, that the ability of the Lord, He said back in Jeremiah 33, in verse number 2, that He's the maker, but then the former. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it. And keep in mind, Jeremiah's in prison. I believe He is responding to Jeremiah's prayer back in chapter 32, verse 17. Oh, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretch out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Look down to verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for Me? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. We see here that the Lord is reminding Jeremiah of His ability. He's the maker of heaven and earth, the Jewish people, the church, and all the rest of it. He's the former of it. He cultivates those things as well. But then notice in verse 2, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. He wanted a faithful, steadfast people to establish it. And so He's the stabilitator. Now, God has and had the ability at this very moment to change Jeremiah's situation and to change the Jewish people from their captivity to freedom. But they needed to be stable. Stay with me. They needed to be stable. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. He was wanting to establish His people. Look back in chapter 32. Look in verse 31. For this city hath been to Me as a provocation of Mine anger and My fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before My face. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke Me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Look at verse 33. And they have turned unto Me the back, and not the face. Wow. That is absolute rebellion. They literally, if Jesus was here, in their rebellion, they chose not to stare at Him at His face in repentance. They chose to just turn their back on Him. No. They turned their back. And because of this, look at verse 33. They have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them. Yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. They set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. The Lord's house became a place of abomination and idol worship. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not. Neither came it unto my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. He's talking about the whole, the big picture here. Yes, God had good for them. Yes, God has a plan for them. But somewhere in the middle of it, as not only Israel did, and as we do, they dropped the ball and they turned their back to God. And they turned their face to the world. And the Lord said, out of love, ye are my children. I cannot allow this to happen. Yes, I have good for you. Yes, there's good days ahead. But you've got to face me. You've got to turn around and repent. That's what repentance is. Is really, if you think about it, they repented to the world, not to Jesus. They turned their back on Jesus and came walking back to the world. We're supposed to turn our world to the back and go walking to Jesus. Listen. There was good for them, but there had to be this guideline to live by. And so in the midst of all of this, because of the Lord's great love and His tender care, He was cultivating, He was working with, He was a God and is a God of mercy. In verse 2, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. The Lord is His name. The Lord wanted to establish them, make firm their Christianity, make firm His people. They slipped, but guess what? The Lord was establishing them. He was molding them and cultivating them through this time of captivity. We see that. Look what He says in verse 2, the latter part. The Lord is His name. The name, the Lord here, or Lord, is Jehovah, self-existent one, self-sufficient one. Now, He's given His message to the prophet. And the prophet is to give it to the people. And so He reminded Jeremiah of the people's dark days, Jeremiah's dark days here in prison. There is better days ahead. The sun will shine again. It's not my will for you to be in bondage. I want to say tonight that it is not God's will for any of us to be in bondage. There may be dark days now. There may be dark days ahead, but God has a plan and God has a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. And to give you an expected end is what He says. He says, listen, I have a plan and I have a purpose for you. And this is not it. Plainer terms, God wants us to want what He wants. Let me mention this. He says in verse number 2, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is His name. God was literally reminding Jeremiah of His ability to trust in what He does, although there's dark days. But then lastly, look at verse number 3. God reminded Jeremiah of His absolutes. I've been wanting to get to this point all day. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God reminded Jeremiah of some absolutes. God would begin to reveal His purposes He had in mind to Jeremiah and to the people if they would only call unto them. This word call here is a loaded call. It's a sick and tired of being sick and tired call. It's a call where you're tired of bondage. It's a call where you're tired of the mundane mediocrity, things being mediocre. It's a call of when one is tired of predicting each service in church. It's a call of a person who is humbling themselves before God and say, Lord, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of the bondage. I'm tired of the expected things in life. I can guess them before they happen. Lord, I want to see some great and mighty things. He said, you got to call for that. You got to call for the great and mighty things. I want you to notice, number one, there's a stipulation here. He said, call unto me. I said a moment ago, and I'll say it again, that God wants us to want what he has for us. He wants us to want it. Do we want what God would like to give us? Let me ask another question. Is this it? As far as people getting saved, people getting helped, an active, thriving ministry as it has been through the years here, is this it? Or could there be a person get saved tonight? Could there be some Christians tonight who have just grown accustomed to dealing with their struggles and really hasn't called and cried out to God about them? I believe that people could get saved. I hear about, and I've read, as of late, sometimes it's hard to believe. I can't recall his name down in, it's been back in the 70s, I believe it was. Let's see. Oh, my goodness, his name slips my mind. He made a statement, though. He said, in the last 7 years, we've had someone get saved every service. That's hard to believe. Curtis Hudson. That's his name. Curtis Hudson. He said, the last 7 years, we had someone. He said, we keep the baptistry full and clean and the water bubbling. That may be a little too hot. The last 7 years, someone has gotten saved every Sunday. That's hard to believe. Or is it? We're talking about great and mighty things. We're talking about being sick and tired of being sick and tired. Listen, we cherish our church. We love our church. We love each other. But there has to be more tonight. There has to be someone to get saved. There has to be some Christians to be encouraged. There has to be more tonight. And I say this because I said it in my study to myself out loud just to see if it would sound right if I would say it. And so I'm going to say it. If we go through service, and this is across the globe, if we meet together Sunday in, Sunday out, and God has been doing things, and people's been coming, and people's being helped, but what I'm saying is this, if we go and we go and we go and nothing happens, that's almost like just a form of religion and no power. The only thing with that is we're not denying our power thereof. We know our powers of Jesus. We want more than just a form, don't you? We want some life. We want some life. We want some things to happen. And I believe tonight the only way they're going to happen is if we get hungry and thirsty for God about it. Call unto me. There may be some times when God wires me up and I preach 2 hours. It's never happened yet. And I'll be a sweat bag up here falling apart. Listen, and it can happen. Extended services, and call unto me. Call unto me, a stipulation in all humility. But then, notice what else he says, call unto me and I will answer thee. There's a stipulation, but then there's an appropriation. But it's an appropriation from God's end. Call unto me and I will answer thee. I will answer you. Back in Jeremiah 29, and I believe I got it in the bulletin, right down below the pastor's corner in the bottom left, in Jeremiah 29, let me grab it right quick. We'll wrap this up in just a moment. Jeremiah 29, notice what he says down in verse number 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The Lord's saying, I want to show you. I've got things for you. I've got purposes for you. I want to show you. Stipulation is, we've got to call on him and search for him with all of our heart. And listen, this is a job to search your heart. Sometimes, Brother Brian, in my study at home and driving down the road and thinking, man, I am constantly filtering through my head, my heart, the word, my head, my heart, the word. I mean, sometimes I feel crazy because I'm doing it, but I'm wanting to make sure that I'm calling on God with all my heart. And it's hard sometimes to call on God with all your heart if we allow things to get in our heart. This is a job. We're disciples. We're learners, aren't we? Disciple means discipline. We're learners tonight, and we're wanting to get to the place where we're ready to call on God with all of our heart because he does have purposes and plans for us. There's a stipulation, call unto me. There's an appropriation. God will appropriate the answer, and I will answer thee. And then here it is, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knewest not. I feel like the whole day has been built up to this phrase. I really didn't mean for it to, but there's really something here. You know that. I don't have to tell you. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The mighty things here, as I searched and looked, the mighty things has to do with the fortified things. Through the idea of a city with walls, this city is fortified with high walls. It's well taken in. You can't get in unless you go through the door, the gate. But it's fortified. They are held back. They are taken care of. They are adored. They're fortified. And so he says, call unto me, and I'll answer thee. I want you to want what I want you to have, and show thee the fortified things. If I can say it this way, the things on the other side of the wall. The things on the other side of the wall. When I think about that, I think about the things in life that maybe I don't understand. Or let me say it this way, the fortified things, the great and mighty things. What he's been talking about the whole time, God has purposes for our lives and plans. You can't see them half-heartedly because it's like you're trying to look at a city with this big old wall. I try to get as elementary as I can because that's the only way I can get to understand it myself. And so he says the only way to see in the city is you got to go through the door, the gate. Jesus is both. But tonight I'm simply saying this, that God was reminding Jeremiah of his absolutes. Jeremiah, it's dark. It's dingy. You're in captivity. The Jewish people are in captivity. But Jeremiah, don't let the confinements of your atmosphere suffocate the possibility of the future. He said, call unto me, Jeremiah. All of your preconceived ideas of how it is now and how you feel like it's not going to get better and how my word is probably even, this is how I feel about it, creating doubt in your mind. Call unto me. He said, I'll answer you. I want to. I want to give you an answer. And I want to show you great and mighty things. I want to speak to you. I want to reveal my purposes to you. Impressions on the mind and the heart. But also just mere faith to believe that there are great and mighty things. Sometimes in life, because of the depths of the darkness, because of the bonds possibly we have transferred over into the new year, it's hard to believe sometimes that God has a purpose for us in a better day ahead. But tonight, as we stand to our feet and we get ready to give a verse of invitation, God has already said He has a plan. There's a better day ahead. The pathway of the righteous grows brighter and brighter, no matter how dark it is. The message today was just simply God's reminders, and He wanted to remind Jeremiah of that. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We love You. Move during this time, and we'll praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to come, you can come.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His
wonderful face. Anybody else tonight? Truth of the matter is, we all need to be down here.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim.
You need God to remind you of His goodness. He'll do that.
Light of His glory.
He hasn't abandoned you. He is able to deliver you. And absolutely, positively, He will reveal His purpose to you if you would only give it over to Him.
Believe Him and all will be blessed. Go to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation to test.
Sing it if you know it. Sing it together.
Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. His glory and grace.
I want to keep singing as these are praying. If you need to come, it's not too late to come. Still for me. Well, we appreciate you being here today. You got something from the Word, from good music today. Anything to mention before we close? All right. Just let's pray for one another. There's many that are still sick, and there's a rebound sickness going on out there. And so be sure to stay on top of that. that's all. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And remember, this coming Wednesday night, we got something special this Wednesday night for the our main service. I asked Brother Jack Henderson if he would share some end time stuff with us on this Wednesday night. And so I asked him that. Looked like he started with the Indian rain dance. He's excited, and that excites me. And so anyway, he'll be doing that, and we got all the other ministries going on with young people. Remember that. All right, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. And, yes, ma'am. Barbara Anderson? Okay. Thank you. Remember Barbara Anderson. All right. Brother Don, would you close up? Don Nettles.